Good morning and welcome to Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Reader, and today we are reading the March 5th edition of the paper, and let's get started. First up on the front page, the Tolono Village President, Rob Murphy, is retiring. This article by Diane Ducey. On Friday, February 28, 2025, the Division of Public Safety at the University of Illinois celebrated the retirement of Patrol Lieutenant Rob Murphy. As Village of Tolono President, Mayor Murphy's term will end on May 25th after deciding not to run for re-election since serving the community for 8 years. Originally from Sullivan, Illinois, Murphy worked in law enforcement since he was 20 years old and in various capacities at the U of I since September 2001, the day before 9/11. As a detective for over 17 years, campus and community members may recognize him as the Community Outreach and Support Team Sergeant. Working with the K-9 unit and as a self-defense instructor with the Rape Aggression Defense Group. And here locally, he's given seminars to parents on internet safety. Law enforcement agencies working with Lieutenant Murphy are publicly thanking him on Facebook posts for his years of service, dedication, loyalty, and commitment. His wife Kelly, known as the First Lady of Tolono, reflected on the family side of his life after meeting him at Willard Airport in 2005, buying a house in Tolono and blending their children, Brett, Brittany, Faith, Quinn, and Mia, who all lived with the couple at some point in their lives. With a grandchild on the way and two in Wisconsin already, the Murphys are looking forward to more babysitting duties in the near future, as well as a trip to Ireland. Both Rob and Kelly Murphy have been to organizing meetings with the Tolono Fun Day Committee for years, and our community has seen the family, including Kelly's mom, Nellie Calk, in decorated golf carts enjoying the parade and festivities the last full weekend of June. The Murphy's dog, Ferris, also enjoys rides with lots of camping and traveling with friends expected as Rob Murphy's retirement chapter kicks in. Congratulations, Mr. Mayor. Next up on today's front page, Heritage High School has received a grant for a new broadcast system. Congratulations to Ashley Knowles on being awarded an Empowering Education Grant for $500 from Eastern Illinois Electric Cooperative. The grant will be used to put together a broadcast system to be able to live stream school news during the morning by the broadcast and journalism class about the Empowering Education Grant. Eastern Illinois Electric Cooperative is proud to continue our Empowering Education Grant program, designed to award each school district in our service territory an education grant of up to $500 each year. The Empowering Education Grant program is designed to help fund projects that will inspire and benefit students. Eastern Illini's president and CEO, Bob Hunzinger, noted, "We're excited to be able to help students in our communities. With our service territory being so spread out, we think this grant program is a practical way to reach our entire service territory. Any teacher who teaches grades K through 12 at any public or private school located in Eastern Illini service territory is eligible to apply for an Eastern Illini Electric Co-op Empowering Education Grant. We have a very simple online application process. Teachers may apply between October and mid-December. The 2024-25 application deadline is December 13th. Winners are announced by the end of February each year. For more information, or to see a complete list of winners, you can visit their website, which is EIEC.org, and that stands for Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative, EIEC.org, and look for the link to Empowering Education Grant Program. Also on today's front page, we learn that an Illinois bill in the legislature in Springfield aims to add more oversight of homeschooling. A new Illinois bill aims to add some oversight of families who homeschool their children. This is a response to concerns that the state does little to ensure that these students receive an education and are protected from harm. The measure, known as the Home School Act, comes after an investigation by Capital News Illinois and ProPublica last year, which found that Illinois is among a small number of states that place virtually no rules on parents who homeschool their children. Parents don't have to register with any state agency or school district, and authorities cannot compel them to track attendance, demonstrate their teaching methods, or show any student progress. Under the new bill, families would be required to tell their school districts when they decide to homeschool their children, and the parents or guardians would need to have a high school diploma or equivalent. If education authorities have concerns that children are receiving inadequate schooling, they could require parents to share evidence of teaching materials and student work. Illinois Representative Tara Costa Howard, a Democrat from a Chicago suburb who is sponsoring the legislation, said she began meeting with education and child welfare officials in response to the news organization's investigation, which detailed how some parents claimed to be removing their children from school to homeschool, but then failed to educate them. The investigation documented the case of L.J., a 9-year-old whose parents decided to homeschool him after he missed so much school that he faced the prospect of repeating third grade. He told child welfare authorities that he was beaten and denied food for several years while out of public school, and that he received almost no education. In December 2022, on LJ's 11th birthday, the state took custody of him and his younger siblings. Soon after, he was enrolled in public school. "We need to know that children exist," said Costa Howard, who is vice chair of the Illinois House's Child Welfare Committee. "The legislation is more urgent because the number of homeschooled children has grown since the pandemic began." She said that Illinois has zero regulations regarding homeschooling. "We are not the norm at all." The most recent numbers available at the time of the news organization's investigation showed that nearly 4,500 children were recorded as withdrawn from public school for homeschooling in 2022. This is a number that had doubled over a decade, but there is no way to determine the precise number of students who are homeschooled in Illinois because the state does not require parents to register. This new bill would require the state to collect data on homeschooling families. Regional offices of education would gather the information, and the state board would compile an annual report with details on the number, grade level, and genders of homeschooled students within each region. Homeschool families and advocates, of course, said that they would fight the measure. They argue that it would infringe on parental rights. Past proposals to increase oversight have also met swift resistance. The sponsor of a 2011 bill that would have required homeschool registration withdrew it after hundreds of people protested at the Illinois State Capitol. In 2019, a different lawmaker abandoned her bill after similar opposition to rules that would have required curriculum reviews and inspections by child welfare officials. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which describes itself as a Christian organization that advocates for homeschool freedom, said that it plans to host virtual meetings to educate families on the bill and ways that they can lobby against it. Kathy Wentz of the Illinois Homeschool Association, which is against homeschool regulations, said that she is concerned about the provision that would allow the state to review education materials, which is called a portfolio review in the legislation. She said that such visits from education officials could be disruptive to teaching. There is nothing in this bill to protect a family's time so that they can actually homeschool without interruptions, Wentz said. She pointed to a 1950 Illinois Supreme Court ruling establishing that homeschooling qualified as a form of private education and that the schools were not required to register students with the state. This bill, however, would require all private schools to register with the state. The Capital News Illinois and ProPublica investigation found that it's all but impossible for education officials to intervene when parents claim they're homeschooling. The state's Child Welfare Agency, the Department of Children and Family Services, does not investigate schooling matters. Under the proposed law, if the department has concerns about a family that says it is homeschooling, the agency could request that education officials conduct a more thorough investigation of the child's schooling. The new law would then allow education officials to check whether the family had notified its district about its decision to homeschool and compel parents to turn over homeschool materials for review. The increased oversight also aims to help reduce truancy and protect homeschooled students who lose daily contact with teachers and others who are mandated to report abuse and neglect, Costa Howard said. Some truancy officials said that under existing law, they have no recourse to compel attendance or review what students are learning at home when a family says they are homeschooling. Jonah Stewart, who is a research director for the Coalition for Responsible Home Education, a national organization of homeschool alumni that advocates for homeschooling regulation, said the lack of oversight in Illinois puts children at risk. This bill is a common sense measure and is critical not only to address educational neglect, but also child safety, Stewart said. In this week's news from Tolono, the Tolono Public Library is celebrating March Madness. To start off our month of excitement, we have Percy Jackson Trivia Night on Thursday, March 6th from 4 to 5 p.m. Come test your knowledge about all things related to Percy Jackson and the Olympians and its sequel series, Heroes of Olympus. Honor and glory goes to two trivia champs in the form of a t-shirt sporting Camp Half-Blood or Camp Jupiter design. Saturday, March 8th from 1 to 3 p.m. is our adult paint party. Local artist and library clerk Megan will teach you how to paint bottoms up. Registration is required and is now open. On Sunday, March 9th, come to the library from 1 to 2:30 p.m. for Art by Miniature. Kids of all ages can make a spring bouquet of flowers using only felt, wire, and buttons. Wednesday, March 12th is our Teen Lounge from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Also, a quick reminder that the Tolono Public Library will be closed all day on Wednesday, March 19th for staff training. We have a lot more in store for the month of March, so as always, please check out the Tolono Public Library's Facebook page and the website for more information on upcoming events. Next up, we have the Sydney Scoop brought to us by Anne Roten. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees' regular monthly meeting should have taken place on Monday, March 3rd. Look for a report from your correspondent in next week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the post home located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney on Monday, March 17th at 6 p.m. Prospective new American Legion Post members are always welcome and encouraged to attend, and all monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held at the post home. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance, and they will be at the Sydney Community Building parking lot, located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney, the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday that they will be in town is Tuesday, April 1st, and everyone in Sydney is welcome to visit the food bank website at eifoodbank.org, Eastern Illinois EI Food Bank, that's all one word, eifoodbank.org, for more information. Tuesday, April 1st is also election day for the consolidated election. Following is a list of candidates who turned in petitions to run for either election or re-election to offices on the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees and the Sydney Community Library Board. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith is running for re-election and is being challenged by Sydney resident John Finn. John Finn's name will be listed first on the April 1st consolidated election ballot for Village of Sydney President, and incumbent Jason Arrowsmith's name will appear second because John Finn turned in his application first. Village of Sydney trustees Dan Gedaken, Tyler Bikers, and Matt Laurent did not turn in signature petitions to run for re-election to the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees, so whomever is elected to the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees president will have three trustee positions to appoint and be approved by current sitting Village of Sydney Board trustees. Interested candidates can still run as write-in candidates for Village of Sydney President or for one of the three open trustee positions. You can call Village of Sydney Clerk Ashley Reinhardt at 217-688-2225 for more information. Village of Sydney Clerk Ashley Reinhardt, who is responsible for the election, petition, and sign-up paperwork for the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees, is also responsible for the election, petition, and sign-up paperwork for the Sydney Community Library Board. Your correspondent visited with Ashley, and she provided that the Sydney Community Library Board will have four open seats, 2 6-year terms, and the 2 expiring 4-year terms of Joyce Ehrig and Lynn Hovland, who will have to run for election and be elected to keep their seats as members of the Sydney Community Library Board. Both Joyce Ehrig and Lynn Hovland turned in signature petitions to run for election to their expiring 4-year terms to the Sydney Community Library Board. There were no candidates' signature petitions turned in wanting to run for the 2 open seats for 6-year terms on the Sydney Community Library Board. The rules for anyone wanting to run for election to the Sydney Community Library Board are the same as those for anyone wanting to run for election to the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees. The Sydney Improvement Group sponsored Easter egg hunt will take place on Saturday, April 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. at Witt Park. Participating age groups for the event are the toddlers, 2 years of age, 3 to 5 year kids, year old kids, 6 and 7 year old kids, and 8 to 10 year old kids, according to the Sydney Improvement Group Facebook page. Everyone's invited to have a great week. If you or your organization have any news items you want published in or regarding Sydney, Illinois, contact Ann Roten at P.O. Box 491 in Sydney, or again, you can call her at 217-688-2812 during business hours. Don't hesitate to leave a message if there's no answer. News items must be turned in by 10 a.m. each Friday to be published in the following week's paper. Items submitted after the deadline will be published in the following week's column. Next up, we have a timely reminder from the Red Cross. Daylight Savings Time begins this Sunday, March 9th, and the American Red Cross asks everyone to turn your clocks forward 1 hour and test your smoking alarms. Did you know that working smoke alarms can cut the risk of dying in a home fire by half? That's why it's critical to turn your smoke alarm and test it to stay safe from home fires. Install smoke alarms on every level of your home, including inside and outside bedrooms and sleeping areas. Test your alarms monthly and replace the batteries at least once a year if your model requires it. Replace smoke alarms that are 10 years or older. That's because the sensor becomes less sensitive over time. Check the date of your smoke alarms and follow the manufacturer's instructions. Remember, turn your clocks ahead 1 hour and test your smoke alarms this Sunday, March 9th. Next up, we have Rocket Nation with Diane Ducey bringing us news from Tolono. She begins her column, "After attending and listening to a few Board of Trustee meetings in my hometown of Tolono and listening to the upcoming plans, I asked Board Member Jared Robbins to talk about potential improvements to our city. He presented this write-up for the Southern Champaign County Today. The Village of Tolono has partnered with Downtown Strategies, a Birmingham, Alabama-based consulting firm, to develop a 5-year downtown strategic action plan. Instead of brainstorming everything we could do, their bite-sized plan will identify practical, small-scale strategies for what we should do to see immediate impact. Led by a team of downtown revitalization practitioners, their real-world experience uniquely qualifies them to assist communities with backfilling vacancies, increasing tourism, and enhancing the sense of place within downtowns across the country. Their strategic action plan will prioritize initiatives that complement recent infrastructure improvements and align with the village's vision for a revitalized downtown. This includes strategies for beautification and vibrancy, storefront activation, and economic development opportunities that will help establish downtown Tolono as a distinctive destination in Champaign County. Would you like to be a part of the process? Join us at the Tolono Township Building on Tuesday, March 25th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. for a stakeholder input session led by Jeremy Murdoch, Downtown Strategies Community Development Specialist. This meeting is designed for local stakeholders and business leaders to share ideas, goals, concerns, and challenges. This collaborative effort will ensure a comprehensive understanding of the community's needs and aspirations for our downtown. Registration is not required, but we do ask that you RSVP to allow the team to make proper room arrangements. Once again, this meeting will be held at the Tolono Township Building on Tuesday evening, March 25th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And to wrap up today's paper, we have a few minutes to enjoy The Night Sky by David Leakey. David is the retired planetarium director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College and co-founder of the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society. His column begins, noting that today is March 5th, Wednesday, March 5th. We'll see a first quarter moon in the sky tomorrow night, situated to the upper left of Jupiter. On Friday evening, Mercury reaches its greatest separation from the Sun. This will be the best time to see Mercury for all of 2025, as it's highest above the horizon at sunset. And it's still not that high, since Mercury is the closest planet to the Sun. Look low in the west about 7:30 p.m. and let Venus be your guide. Both will appear star-like, with Mercury being dimmer and to the lower left of brilliant Venus. Mercury will become difficult to see in a couple of weeks, so look soon. Watch each night as the two change relative position until the two are at equal altitude on March 13th. The moon is very close to Mars in the sky Saturday evening, the pair being only 1/5 of 1 degree apart. And this Saturday night, we spring forward an hour as daylight savings time is once again upon us. And next up, we have our weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. Did you know that as of March 1st, it's meteorological spring? You may be wondering, what is meteorological spring? Well, meteorological spring occurs during the months of March, April, and May each year. So for meteorologists, spring began on March 1st and it ends on May 31st. Then summer will start on June 1st and so on, according to the calendar. But for those marking the change of the seasons by the celestial bodies in the sky, astronomical spring begins a bit later, on March 20th. Personally, I say the earlier the better, and while astronomy is interesting, it's much simpler to consider the first of the month as the beginning of the season. Speaking of March, we turn our clocks ahead on March 9th, so we'll have more daylight to enjoy that will hopefully be warming temperatures, sunshine, and time to enjoy the outdoors after work. And speaking of warmer weather and being outside, the Philo Library is hoping to have a gardening presentation in March for those of you who enjoy growing flowers and vegetables. The University of Illinois Extension Office will be presenting a gardening program covering both flowers and veggies and maybe pollinators and garden pests. Also, these sessions will answer questions you might have. We're planning to schedule these gatherings on a Saturday or Sunday so that more people will be able to attend. Once there is a specific date, it will be announced on Philo Watch and in other local media. The Philo Library also notes that they have added some Freda McFadden books to the collection, so if you're looking for this popular author, you might check the Philo Library. Also added are new books by Wanda Brunstatter, including The Rise and Fall of Miss Fanny's Biscuits. Briefly, Fanny Walker has made to the finals of the Tuscarawas County Baking Contest when suddenly contestants start disappearing. Are some of the other finalists responsible for the disappearances? Fanny and her friend, a retired policeman, will look into what's going on and who's responsible. And you can find out at the Philo Public Library. We have some very quick news notes that you might find of interest. St. Patrick Catholic Charities in Tolono, Illinois, is offering a free food pantry every Monday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. and Friday from 9 to 10:30 a.m., located at the parish and serving everyone from Champaign County. The VFW of Villa Grove is sponsoring bingo every Friday night at 7 p.m. The Giving Place is open every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. in Tolono to help families in need of food items. The third Thursday of every month is the Tolono Fun Day Committee meeting at 6:30 at the police station. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile will be at the Sydney Community Building the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. On March 6th, the Tolono Public Library, and we'll be presenting the Olympians Trivia Night from 4 to 5 p.m. And on March 15th, the Homer Community Library Annual Great Puzzle Race will be underway from 1 to 3 p.m. This concludes our reading of the Southern Champaign County Today edition for March 5th, 2025. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.